This evening, I want us to look at Job 28. So definitely you can turn there. We're actually going to look at every single verse, one at a time, in Job 28. Now, what I've got on the screen is the New King James Version. There's slightly different wording, you know, between the King James, New King James, English Standard, but it's the same point that's being made throughout. It's just the ideal of maybe the way a word's ahead of another word or something, but it's the same exact thought being said, whether it's just presented in a little different way or not. But I've got a couple lessons in the works, and this is one of them in this little type of series. When I was doing like the apocalyptic type language lessons, you know, I did one on the ideal of understanding and how like certain levels of figurative speech is used, and the reason they're used was for dramatic effect or to emphasize. And I got to thinking that there's a tremendous amount of this figurative language with this extra effect and imagery that's not apocalyptic in any way, shape, or form. It's just the ideal of stressing, emphasizing, putting it forth to us in a way that if we look at it correctly and we can picture it in our mind, then it has a greater effect on us. This, I think, is one of those passages. There's so much that's put in there. So what I'm calling these is like imagery lessons. So I do have a lot of like pictures in there to try to get it in your mind, like a mindset of what's trying to be said so that it would stick a little bit as well. But let's get started. We're, like I said, we're going to read one verse at a time. But the title of this is Where is Wisdom Found? This pops up twice in here, the ideal of where is wisdom found. And Job starts off at the beginning with the ideal of more along the lines of the way people would search it out, seek it out, the ideal of emphasis placed upon it, its value. And so verse 1 says, and again, New King James Version, surely there is a mine for silver, and a place where gold is refined. But no, notice even the first word here, surely, you know, the ideal, or there is, it's an absolute thing, right? So the way he's starting this off is the ideal of precious things, things of value to man, definitely they're going to make it happen. All right, the ideal of a mine for silver, oh yeah, surely there are mines for silver. Places for gold to be refined, to make it into jewelry and stuff. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Surely there's a mine for these things. You know, surely there's a place because it's of such great value to mankind. So, yes, you know, the silver, the gold. Verse 2 says, iron is taken from the earth and copper is smelted from ore. So the ideal of digging deep into the earth to bring iron out, that extended effort into gaining these things. And copper, when I started looking for pictures of copper, what I found was how hard it actually is to get that copper, to pull it out of the ore, to actually be able to refine it, right? The effort. So he's saying, you know, the ideal of is there a place for searching out gold, silver? Yeah. The effort put in to pull out the iron and the copper that we want? Yeah. You know, we put a lot of effort into those things. Verse 3, man puts an end to darkness and searches every recess for ore in the darkness and the shadow of death. So he's making the point, like, you know, all this effort, but even to the boundaries that we're willing to push to get those things, right? To dig into the deepest, darkest recesses to find these things. We'll go out of our way for those. And, you know, the ideal of in the darkness and putting an end to darkness, taking light into these places to see, to hunt for these things. And then the ideal of the shadow of death, you know, coming from Kentucky, Indiana, coming from Virginia. We know this maybe a little more, you know, or closer to home, as we would say, than some here. Those places are known for coal mines and coal mines collapsing. You know, they're death traps in a lot of ways. So the ideal of being willing to place yourself into that predicament to find these things. Yes, man's all about it. Go into every recess. Now, verse 4, you know, I think goes right along with this idea of every recess. It says he breaks open a shaft away from people In places forgotten by feet, they hang far away from men. They swing to and fro. And I was thinking, you know, initially the idea of, you know, the mining and hanging from ropes, you know, and how big of a deal that is. It's actually a pretty big deal. It was more in the past than maybe it is now with all of our heavy equipment and machinery, dynamite, you know, that kind of thing. But I've got some pictures on the screen here where people actually hang over the top sides of cliffs. They hang down and then they embed stuff into the walls. And the older they were, like back in history before they had drills and cement and bolts that you can tighten up and expand into a stone. Like this first picture, you can see like where they've drilled another hole and hung a piece of rod in that hole and stuck the rod into the wood. So the wood's sort of hanging by a thread, as we would say. And then they put some boards and then they drill into the face. They dig and whack at the stone and they go in through the face to get to these things like gold and silver and ore and diamonds and jewels. And I was thinking, you know, here's Job way back, patriarchal time, writing about the effort that men would go to find these things, that they're willing to hang off the side of cliffs and dig into the sides to build these shafts, and they swing to and fro on these ropes to find these things. Look at the effort put in that. And then he goes to verse 5, talking about the earth. Look, you dug down into the earth. You're digging through the side of the earth. And he says, you know, verse 5, as for the earth, you know, the idea of what's there in the earth, from it comes bread. So, you know, like things of value, if you start thinking about the effort to put in things, you know, really, you know, it comes bread. Like what grows on top of it? Isn't that much easier to get to? The things that the Lord's provided for us to take care of our daily living? Yeah, it really is. He says, and, you know, underneath it is turned up as by fire. And really, that's where a lot of these jewels and things of value come from, right? The heat of the earth being pushed up toward the surface. We dig down to find them. So verse 6 is going to that, right? The ideal of that underneath and turned up by fire and so forth. Verse 6 says, its stones, talking about coming up from the earth, are the source of sapphires, and it contains gold dust. All right, so the ideal of, okay, well, you know, here on top we can grow and we got the trees and we got all of this that's for us, but what man sees is more valuable, we start digging down and we're seeking and we're searching and we're finding, we're putting all that effort into those things, right? And then he even talks about the ideal of like what God has put in place and then how we seek after things. But the ideal of even nature itself, you know, it's, you know, the ideal of where these stones are located and stuff, that path no bird knows, nor has the falcon's eye seen it. Verse 8, the proud lions, and I think the King James Version talks about it being the whelp, the young lion like a cub or babe, and then the fierce lion, the grown, more adult version. It says, nor has the fierce lion passing over it, the whelp or the proud lion being trodden, you know it. The ideal of, you know, what the Lord has provided for us, but we take and go into the uttermost reaches to find these things. We put such great effort into that. But doesn't the Lord take care of all these animals? Doesn't he provide for all of them? He does, yeah. But then back to man, verse 9. He puts his hand on the flint. He overturns the mountains at the roots. So here, you know, the birds, they're flying over the mountains, they're seeing all the beauty of the world. But man, we just completely wrecked the whole world to find these things. I mean, look at this pit, just destroyed that whole mountain. And you can see where they dug all the way down into the bottom root of the mountain and just digging in and destroying, you know. Verse 10, he says he cuts out channels, talking about mankind, cuts out channels in the rock. So this is just standard quarry, you know, digging out square chunks, you know. So he's cutting out these channels in the rocks. It says, and his eye sees every precious thing. Why would a human's eye see every precious thing? Because that's what's important to him. So here, you know, all this filtering through all these rocks, packing all this dirt up, going through all of this. Yeah, they don't miss one little gem. Not a bit, because they're glued on it. That's their whole duty, their whole life is to seek these things out. He says, so here they're just destroying the world for these little tiny things we hold as so precious. Verse 11 says, he dams up the streams. You know, these streams, these life-giving water streams, you know, he dams up the streams from trickling what is hidden he brings forth to light. So the ideal of like building these little places for the water to flow, sluice boxes and stuff for gold and jewels and rubies and diamonds, you know, we'll destroy the whole face of the earth to find these things. Dig down deep, take light into these holes, you know, to find these things. And then we get really to the point of the lesson in verse 12. You know, if you take all that effort to find that, but where can wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? You know, are we putting that kind of effort into finding wisdom and knowledge? I mean, are we willing to go to the utmost depths of the world to find it? Are we going to take and filter through all of that rubble and pebbles and all that water in the stream? Are we going to put that much effort to go through that much stuff to find wisdom and truth? As good Bible students, yes, we would. Yes, we're willing to dig deep to find the truth to gain wisdom. But see, that's why it stops right here in the middle, Job does. You know, so all of that effort, yeah, mankind will go through great effort for those things. But how about wisdom and understanding? Where's its place? Does it have an elevated position? Verse 13. Man does not know its value. Talking about wisdom and understanding. Nor is it found in the land of the living. Now, what's that meaning is the ideal of the physical realm. All right, the ideal of just wisdom, depending on, you know, man and his wisdom and all. But we don't know the value of it because we find value in other things. You know, and those other things are more important. And then he talks about the ideal of, like, verse 14. The deep says, not in me. The sea says, it's not with me. Because, see, those are places, you know, people go to search for these things as well, right? You see, like, shows on the History Channel, Bering Gold Sea, you know, digging down deep in the ocean, sucking up all the stuff off the bottom of the ocean, diving deep trying to find these things. But wisdom, you know, no, not in me. You're looking in the wrong place. You know, you've already been looking in the wrong place with all these jewels, but you're still looking in the wrong place. And in the ideal of, well, maybe what we found, we can use it to buy wisdom and understanding. Verse 15, it cannot be purchased for gold, nor can silver be weighed for its price. Because we don't know the value of it. The ideal of, if we think the value that we should be seeking for is this gold and riches and all, then we would automatically think, well, if I could get enough of those things, then I could buy whatever I want. No, you can't buy wisdom and understanding with gold, you know, with silver, you know, because like it already says, it's not part of the physical realm. You don't purchase it. Now, I would say, like, you know, our Bible, we can buy our Bible and definitely study, but the Bible comes from God, and we're going to get to that. All right? It's published here on this earth, and you can buy it as in the physical form, but again, it had to come from God. So, you know, the value needs to be more than gold and silver. That book right there, you know, bound up by human beings, that really should be your, like, most, you know, precious treasure. The Word of God that you've got with you. I mean, that's sort of the point of Job 28. 16. It cannot be valued in the gold of Ophir and precious onyx or sapphires. The reason that Ophir, the gold of Ophir, is brought up, I've got dual pictures side by side. One shows in the lower part of Africa. Another shows on down, you know, beside the Red Sea a little further, like Arabia area. It's supposed to be like the legendary place that Solomon would get his gold later on. But even then, there's talk of it even being as far out as the Americas, that he sailed this far out to find the gold. It's one of those huge things. But the gold that would come from Ophir, the place, Ophir, was the most clearest, purest, high-value gold ever. So when he talks about wisdom and understanding, it is more precious than the gold of Ophir, like mystical in a sense even of that. Onyx, sapphire, I've got pictures of these fine gems, you know, once again. Verse 17, neither gold nor crystal can equal it, nor can it be exchanged for jewelry of fine gold. All right, so yeah, you dig, you find, you seek all these things out. You completely destroy the earth for them, but their value is not even close to wisdom and understanding. Verse 18, No mention shall be made of coral or quartz, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. So, you know, rubies, they're more value than the coral, you know, and the quartz. You know, coral can be like, you can buy coral as from the ocean coral that's been polished. It can also be other stones that look like what I've got on the screen. But, you know, rubies are of more value than those. So why even bring those up if rubies don't even cut it? Verse 19, the topaz of Ethiopia cannot equal well-known sought-out stones from Ethiopia here. That's why it's named in particular. Nor can it be valued in pure gold. Once again, the ideal of weighing it out, even as pure as you can get it. Going back to verse 1, you know, the foundries to try to purify that gold. It doesn't matter how hard you work at it, that value doesn't come up to wisdom. Proverbs 8 and 11, throw up some couple other verses here in the middle just to change things up for you. Proverbs 8 and 11, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. So, you know, the ideal of summing up everything we just read, it doesn't matter what kind of gem, what kind of gold, what silver, it doesn't matter any other thing that you may desire, nothing can come to the level of value of wisdom. Proverbs 8, 11 there. Proverbs 16, 16, how much better to get wisdom than gold? And to get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. You know, Proverbs, once again, he's making the same point Job was years later, hundreds of years later. All right, the ideal of the value of wisdom is far greater than these things. So we're back to 20. Verse 20 is sort of the same thing as 12. From where then does wisdom come? You know, if you can't buy it, if it's of such great value, where does it come from? And where is the place of understanding? You know, so we're back to that same question. Where is it found? You know, if it's of such high value and we really need to have it, where is it then? 21. It is hidden from the eyes of all living and concealed from the birds of the air. So again, we're back to the physical. As in the physical realm, you know, depending on the physical, you know, nature of things, it's not there. Now, we can take God's word and compare that to things and take and get great wisdom from it. But the ideal of us just going out into the world to find wisdom and listening to man and everything else, yeah, it's not there. Verse 22 says, destruction and death say, we have heard a report about it with our ears. Now you're thinking, well, how is death and destruction saying that? And I got to thinking, well, you know, like Proverbs 10:14, wise people store up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. So it says death and destruction. They say, I've heard a report. Well, you know, the foolish, the unlearned, which would be like those seeking out all these things that have no value compared to wisdom. Yeah, when they go to the grave, so forth, this idea, well, we heard a report. I wish I'd have found some wisdom instead of rubies. Proverbs 18 and 7, a fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. So yeah, death and destruction, heard a report about it. You know, and I think Job is putting it in sort of as a little bit of fun right there. I really believe that. He's making a little bit of fun of this, the ideal of, you know, the fool. Yeah, the fool doesn't seek out knowledge. They seek out these other things. And really all they find in the end is death and destruction. 23. God understands its way. Talking about wisdom. God understands its way and he knows its place. So where is it at? Let's go to God. Let's find it. Let's find this thing of great value. Psalms 136 and 5. To him, capital H, who by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endures forever. So where can we find wisdom? Well, God understands it. God knows his place. Why? Because it's by him. It's through him. It's from him. All right, same verse, 23, but Proverbs 2, 6. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. So where can they be found? Only with God. That's where wisdom and knowledge is. Only from God. Jeremiah 10:12. He has made the earth by his power. He has established the world by his wisdom. And has stretched out the heavens at his discretion. All right. So we've already talked about birds. We've talked about the air. I'm talking about the birds of the air. We talked about the land animals. We talked about digging into the depths. And then it goes on to say that, you know, all of this was created by the wisdom of God. So, you know, the things of this world, you don't seek them out for wisdom, but you can seek out the wisdom that created all of those. And we're going to continue with this thought pattern. Verse 24 of Job 28. For he looks to the ends of the earth and sees under the whole heavens. Talking about God. And that's why that wisdom, he created all of it. He sees all of it. All knowledge and wisdom still is with him. It's within his realm of focus. Psalms 104:24. O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your possession. But think about what Job was just saying. Look at the destruction we rain down on what the Lord has created, all his works, for things that we think are of true value. And then we put little to no effort into what it has real value. Shame, ain't it? Verse 25, that is, to establish a weight for the wind, talking about God, and a proportion the waters by measure. So the ideal of his wisdom and knowledge, the weight of wind, do you feel wind? Do you feel air? Like, I mean, there's air in here. The fans can make it move around, but does it really have weight? I mean, in a sense, am I lifting it? Do I have weight? But the Lord understands what he's created, what he's made, the weight of the wind. You know, an ideal of where he's placed waters, the fresh water, the salt water, the water that's under the ground, the waters that's up in the heavens, you know, moving with the atmosphere. The Lord has put everything in its place. Why would we not want to go to that level of understanding? Proverbs 3:19, the Lord by wisdom founded the earth, by understanding he established the heavens. Why would we not seek him out? That's where the wisdom, knowledge, truth, understanding is. Why would we not go to him? Verse 26 says, when he made a law for the rain and a path for the thunderbolt. You know, scientists go out of their way trying to measure electricity and how much, you know, when a lightning bolt hits, or how to predict a lightning strike, where it'll hit, what it won't hit, and all this. And here it says, you know, the Lord, he's created that law. We call it Mother Nature. You know, that's just real smart of us, right? Forget God, but Mother Nature, you know, and this is how things work. Well, those are the laws of nature, we say. These are things that the Lord has put in place since from the very beginning through his wisdom. And he talks about even the very path of the thunderbolt, lightning striking the ground, and where and the places and what it would hit. Verse 27. Then he saw wisdom and declared it. He prepared it. Indeed, he searched it out. Daniel 2:20 to go along with this. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. So you know the idea, he created all things. And then once everything's in place, he hands down wisdom and knowledge to man. So where can it be found? From God. God is the source of all. But we seek out his creation for things we think as valuable, but we take and deny him what's rightfully given to us even. The ideal of giving him the glory for what he's bestowed upon us. They're his. And in the last verse of Job 28, which is 28, which is real interesting, right? You know, 28:28. And to man he said, talking about God said, and to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. So where can it be found? You know, where's it at? Well, it's from the Lord. And how do you get it? It's having fear of the Lord. Now, understand, fear, once again, is that respect of God. Not trembling, scared to death of him, but respect of the Lord. Respecting his understanding. Respecting who he is. We can have wisdom. And taking learning of him and seeing what's right, what's wrong, what's important, what's not, is how we depart from evil. And that's where that understanding evolves from, to where we truly have that. Now, I want to finish up with some other verses out of Job 28 with this picture. You know, in a sense, it's just verses, but the ideal of 28 is, with all these picture-type messages, is here we see the value that man places on these things, but then we take and completely lose the value of what we should truly seek out. Psalms 111:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So we're back to 28, right? A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. So back to what's rightfully his, right? The praise unto God that's rightfully his for having all knowledge, all power, all understanding, and then what he's bestowed on us and seeing that and giving recognition unto that even. Romans 11:33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Paul is truly giving him praise with that statement, isn't he? Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Back to value, right? Or where can it be found? Oh, it's far greater than what you're going to find digging in the earth. It's way greater than that. And it's more valuable than anything you're going to pull out of the ground. Paul's giving him, praise for this. And how unsearchable, how grand they are. James 1 and verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So you want to know where wisdom is? It's with God. How do you get it? Because it's so valuable, right? You can't buy it with gold, can't buy it with silver. You just got to ask. I enjoyed the prayer tonight. The ideal of, the Lord being willing to give us knowledge, but also us doing our part. Truly wanting it, having a desire for it, listening, learning, reading, studying. And then the ideal of asking for God's help with that to gain it. It says he'll give it to you liberally, without reproach. If you're truly wanting his knowledge, he just bestows it openly. But do you really want it? Ecclesiastes 2, verse 26. For God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to a man who is good in his sight. But to the sinner, he gives the work of gathering and collecting, that he may give to him who is good before God. This also is vanity and grasping for the wind. Do you see this? The idea of all those seeking out those things? Yeah, they've got their place. The Lord uses them because, one, they don't care of God, but he uses them and in a lot of ways betters us, those that would truly seek him out. 1 Chronicles 22:12. Oh, may the Lord give you wisdom and understanding and give you charge concerning Israel. It's talking about back with the kings and all, that you may keep the law of the Lord your God. So this is what we ought to seek out, right? We ought to seek out the wisdom and the understanding and that we can keep the law of God. That's the only way we truly know what the Lord expects of us, is by going into his word and reading and seeing what he expects of us. We're not going to find it out there. We're not going to find it in worldly knowledge. We find it in the word of God. So yeah, make the effort. Back to the beginning of 28, all that effort. Proverbs 21 and 30. There is no wisdom or understanding or counsel against the Lord. There's no level of knowledge like man that can take and come up to the Lord or be able to overturn the Lord, go against the Lord. Nothing. Because our level of understanding and wisdom is so low. We're going to see that here shortly in some verses. Isaiah 33 and 6. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times and the strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. All right, now I'm getting ready to transition to those that would think differently. All right, back to sort of the ones that would think the jewels are worth more than the knowledge of God. But this last verse in this run right here, wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your time. A person can be completely grounded in this life, understanding who you are, the purpose of your life, all that you need to do and be. It all comes from the understanding of God's word. All right, now, when we start falling apart, it's when we get wrapped up in the things of this world and the knowledge of this world, and then it just tears us to pieces. And we lose faith in everything. And then even the ideal of this wisdom and knowledge, the strength of salvation. We're going to come back to that. But notice the ideal that wisdom comes from the fear of the Lord, and it's his treasure, not rubies, gold, silver. But that respect, reverence given unto the Lord, to get this knowledge and wisdom, there's some true treasure. This is treasure that he's provided for us. Let's go to the ideal of man, though, you know, not really accepting this. You know, Proverbs 1:7. So starting with what we know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. You know, so yeah, what the Lord has provided, yeah, it's great and wonderful. But the fool says, nah, I don't really care for that. I know what I really know. I know what's of more value than that. You know, I'd rather forget serving the Lord and I'll go dig up some rubies. I know that's got some value. I can sell those things. I can go buy me a big grand house and car and everything else. Isaiah 47:10. It says, for you have trusted in your wickedness. You have said, no one sees me. Your wisdom and your knowledge have warped you. And you have said in your heart, I am, and there is no one else besides me. Now, Isaiah is talking about the children of Israel and where they are. And the ideal of God gave them laws. God gave them instructions. But they, within themselves, have said, we trust in our own wickedness. And the reason he uses that term wickedness is because it opposes God. You know, we trust in our own ways. You know, and no one sees me. I mean, we do what we want to do. We got power and so forth. You know, we do what we want to do. And then he says, but you know, your wisdom and your knowledge has warped you. You know, and that's what the knowledge of this world does. You take and start trying to read and understand everything that people comes up with. And you're like, whoa, you know, because it's all this fake understanding. They lie. I mean, how many times do you see some grand discovery and then, you know, even in my short lifetime, 40 some years, see it completely overturned because it was all false. They made it up. You know, how close they got to supposed to be bridging between evolution, coming from an ape to a man. Then they found out that one skeleton, they found it over spread out over like miles and miles and put all these little pieces of all kinds of things together to create what they said they found in one spot. Or scientists come up and say, oh, we understand how the body works on this. And then it comes up that was all a lie too. You know, just 10 years after it comes up with it. You see it in the news all the time. That's that ideal of, well, we're so smart, we're going to create our own. And then we just warp ourselves by it. And then that last statement gets me more than all the rest. If you remember back in what Moses, the Lord told him, well, you know, to go and tell them, they said, well, who? And they asked, who? He says, you tell them, I am. And here Isaiah says, in your heart you have said, I am. You know what that means? I don't need God. I'm a God. That is really what that's saying. I don't need God. Because God is I am. The only one. That's why we're to seek him out in his wisdom and knowledge. But we ourselves, we get so puffed up and so proud that we think we can depend on our own understanding and knowledge. And we fail because of it. Jeremiah 9:23. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. And the reason for that is all of those things fail. They all fail you. Every bit of them. Because, you know, the wise man, he's talking about the wisdom of this world. Like 1 Corinthians 2:4. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. Paul's making that clear. He's saying, what I brought to you, that was the word of God. It wasn't persuasive words of human wisdom. But in the demonstration of the Spirit and power. 1 Corinthians 1:19. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Because that is man's wisdom. 1 Corinthians 2:6. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature. You know, those who truly want the wisdom of God. Yet not the wisdom of this age. Talking about of the men, the people. Say like all of those Greek scholars, philosophers, the wisdom of that age. Nor of the rulers of this age, the Roman rulers, you know, and what they think, worship Caesar, who are coming to nothing. All of that was coming to nothing. It all had its end. Colossians 2:23. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom. And then he's talking about, like, I really think he's talking about the beginning of the Roman Catholics and the pushing of other ways of worship and stuff. Self-imposed religion, false humility, neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. It was all false worship, false way of serving God. And he says in those it seems to have an appearance. You know, they use some of God's word, some of man's fancy language and wisdom of their own. They try to combine and create something. He said, yeah, it's got an appearance, but it really isn't the truth. It's not going to stand. It's not going to benefit you when it comes to being faithful and spiritual. 1 Corinthians 3:19. I've only got a couple more left here. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. We need to realize if all wisdom comes from God, and then the wisdom of this world is seen as foolishness with God, then we need to keep it in its place, right? Because that's what it is. In most cases, it's fiction. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. Again, think about all those scientific things coming up and then they're found to be false just a few years later, or lies. There's a reason for that. They're caught in their own craftiness. It's just shown to be false because they don't go back to the Lord. You know, they're in opposition to the Lord. No, there wasn't one creator. It was a big bang. And then all these other things prove that, well, that really couldn't work. But they want to stand by it. That's sort of their own wisdom, right? But let's wrap up with just a couple verses here. And I've changed color just so you know we're on a new route. But the ideal of truly seeking out wisdom, seeking out understanding, going unto the Lord, and then where that comes from and truly where we can find it today, 1 Corinthians 1:17. For Christ did not send me to baptize, Paul talking about the division, you know, and all there, but to preach the gospel. You know, so the ideal of to bring the wisdom of God to them, not with wisdom of words, talking about the words of man, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. But he said, he didn't send me just to come baptize people here, but no, to teach, to bring his wisdom unto you. We can find that wisdom in the word of God, his wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1:30, the last verse I've got here. But of him, capital H, talking about God, you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Why do you think in John he is called the Word of God? He is the wisdom, the Word that was delivered from God to mankind and then passed on to the apostles, who's passed on to other men, who passed it on to other men, who have fully collected it and who can study it today and continue to learn it and grow by it, and where we find out how to be righteous, how we can be sanctified from our sins, how we can find redemption and make it back home to God our Father. It is only through that wisdom, which can only be found in him. But again, back to the beginning of Job 28, how much effort do we really put into finding that? Mankind as a whole puts in very, very little. But you know, I'm not held accountable for all of mankind. I'm going to be held accountable for what I put into it. Each of you as well. And then each of you what you'll do with it. Because, you know, that's true wisdom. There's knowledge and understanding. And wisdom is applying it. What's it worth to you? Is it worth the effort? Tonight, we'd like to offer an invitation to those that may have never obeyed the gospel. You know, maybe you've come to a level of knowledge and understanding that you know what it takes to become a child of God. Act on that tonight while you have time and opportunity. Maybe you still need some more of that knowledge and wisdom. Please ask. Let us help. Let's go into the Word of God, not to the words of man, but to the Word of God and see exactly what's required. Maybe you've obeyed that Word, but other things have drawn you away. Make the decision tonight to change, to come back to Him, to seek out His wisdom and knowledge. Find that righteousness, that sanctification, the redemption that is brought for all mankind. Tonight, if we can help in any way, we're happy to. If you'll come forward as we stand and sing.